Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Anchor.
If you haven't heard about Anchor,
it's the easiest way to make a podcast.
It's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain.
Oh, please.
It's free.
Awesome. That's cool.
There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or your computer.
You do it from your phone, like on the go?
Oh, my God.
That's cool.
And on the bus or the subway, you can do it.
That's cool.
Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Go ahead.
You can make money from your podcast, too. No minimum listenership. How about that? You can make money with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast all in one place. Where do we have to go, Bob?
Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
You two are bad friends.
Who are these two idiots?
A white dude and an Asian dude. You two are disgusting.
Oh, you two are something.
We're bad friends.
Mythological madness, it's all in my mind. Mythological madness of the supreme kind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it rhymes and it's about your mental disorders and stuff.
Mythological madness.
Yeah, baby.
In my mind.
Yeah.
Mythological madness.
Yeah.
All the time.
Listen, how about you right now, bro? Baby.
I grab a knife from the kitchen and go to the bedroom.
No.
You're lying in bed.
No.
You're snoring again.
No.
I stab you in the neck.
Yeah. Then you take some meth and you boil some babies.
And then you smoke it outside.
Yeah.
And your neighbor says cut it out, so you kill him too.
Yeah, baby.
Welcome to the show. What have you been having, crazy dreams?
Oh my God. For the last 10 years, I haven't dreamt at all.
Come on, never?
No, it's like my sleeps were like almost coma type sleeps where you wake up and you go.
Coma sleep.
Or you go, what day is it? What time? You know, when you wake up, I don't know what happened. But since the quarantine and since I've been sober this time, oh my Lord. Oh la la.
How many hours a night do you get?
Oh shit. I get about 9 or 10 hours. And I didn't wake up until like 2:45. That's why I texted you and I said I was going to be late.
I know. Well, you were late. Kalila actually texted me.
Mythological madness.
Here, Kalila texted me this.
Oh, I just woke this. I woke up like this.
Kalila just said, here you go.
He's, what is it?
She wrote, here you go. He's on his way. That's what she said.
Yeah. So here we go.
There he goes. There he goes. Come back this way. Ew.
Jesus Christ.
Did you hear that, Jules?
Yeah.
Look at your dog. Listen to your dog growl.
I know.
Listen to this dog.
No,
That's not growling.
It's okay, Rab.
Thank you, Rudy.
What is that, Rudy?
Reverse sneezing.
Your dog reverse sneezes?
Yeah, we don't do it normal. We do everything reverse.
This is a dog sneezing backwards?
Yeah.
Did you hear that, Jules?
What the fuck is that?
Dude, we have two dogs that do that. What the fuck are you talking about? Dogs do that, bro.
Reverse sneezing?
Yeah, it's like when cats go like this. Cats do this. They go, and then they cough up some fucking ball of fucking puke balls. Oh, my God.
No.
What are you Googling everything, you fuck?
Reverse sneezing is very common and less so in cats, so you're wrong about that. When pets reverse sneeze, they typically stand, extend their head and neck, pull back their lips, and inhale repeatedly, forcefully through their nose, a distinctive loud snorking sound.
Yeah.
This is your dog.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, that's my fucking medieval fart.
Did you hear that, Jules?
Is not that interesting, but the fucking reverse sneezing is?
I've never heard reverse sneezing before.
You've never heard a fart like that, my friend. That's fucking from the medieval days, my friend.
Let's hear it again.
It's like the drummer boy farts. There's like 15 drummers in there.
Eek.
Look at my little Smurf underwear. I look like Papa Smurf with his underwear. Enough of those.
You know what's so great about that?
What?
I do that all the time at the house.
You do.
I rewind stuff over and over and over, and yeah, she fucking hates when I do it.
Your wife does?
Yeah, it makes me laugh so hard. When I find something funny like that on a show or like anything, I have to watch it again and again.
Yeah, I do. I watch American Idol and The Voice like that. But my point is this. Do you ever fart in bed?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Do you squeeze your butt cheeks open so that it comes out there so there's no noise?
It depends. I fart in bed only if I know that we're not going to make boop boop. If we're not going to make boom boom. If it's not in the cards, then I'll fart in bed.
How do you know if it's in the cards or not?
You can feel it.
Ah, it's about the sense.
You can feel it in the air.
Yeah.
By the way, I got boom boom from our favorite. Boom boom, make a good boom boom from my favorite characters from 90 Day Fiancé. Did you tweet at Ed?
This is what happened. So Ed,
yeah,
Big Ed,
Big Head Ed, Mayo Big, Head Ed,
yeah, Mayo Head Head,
Mayo Head Ed.
He was on Instagram Live, and I got on it, and I go, first I kept saying 15 times, acknowledge me,
yeah,
and he wouldn't do it, right? Because he's like doing Instagram Live with just other people. It hurt my feelings.
Well, you wanted to do an IG live
or at least say, hey, what's up, or whatever, right? So then I started going, hey, man, I'm verified. You know what I mean? I had to throw up.
I have a blue check, dude.
So.
Isn't that so funny, though, when you send someone a message on there
what?
And they're verified and you are too, you automatically go, come on, open it up. I'm verified.
Well, it's funny because it's like when somebody do you ever do this when like somebody verified follows you on Twitter, you follow them back?
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah. Why is that? It's because so gross.
Because it's like a club.
Yeah.
You feel like you're a part of a thing.
Yeah. Like, you know who follows me, but I'm a fan.
Mm-hmm.
But am I following Louis Bukowski? What's his name?
What?
The singer?
Louis Bukowski?
From England.
Louis Capaldi?
Yeah, Louis Capaldi.
Who is that?
He's one of the biggest singers on planet Earth.
I don't know.
Yeah.
What does he sing?
There he is.
Wow.
He's huge.
He's a sharp-looking cat.
Yeah.
He's one of the best singers. What does he sing?
What's that song that he sings? You know the song. Sing it a little bit.
No.
Rudy,
just give me a little bit.
Please,
Rudy, don't fully sing it. Just give me the gist.
Na, 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 na.
No, the lyrics.
And you're not here to make it through it all.
Is this Someone You Loved? Is that the name of the song?
I do like him a lot, but yeah. Yeah, Someone You Loved. That's a great song.
Is that the one?
Yeah, this is someone you love. It's about me.
Here, read the lyrics. They're there for you. Will you sing and read it?
A little bigger because my uncle's blind. It goes, now the day bleeds into nightfall, and you're not here to get me through it all. I let my guard down and think you pulled the rug. I was getting kind of used to being someone you loved.
Ugh, yeah.
Yeah. So he follows me on Twitter.
Yeah, I love him.
And he's a huge star. And I don't know if I followed him back, but...
No, you didn't. It sounds like you didn't follow him back
at all. Yeah, but because he's so big, I didn't want to like...
How many followers on it? Does he have a lot of followers?
Millions.
Yeah.
He's huge. He's like the next Ed Sheeran.
How do I not know this guy?
Because, I don't know. Maybe you only like Conor McGregor and like the Lucky Charms guy.
What is that? This is music. I like music.
Maybe you like only redheaded vibe things.
I only like redheaded stuff. He's a redhead. I would have liked him.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
This is what it should have gone like.
Yeah.
I'm going under this time and I feel nowhere to turn to. Nothing all the way of loving got me sleeping out. You know I need somebody to know.
No.
Somebody to heal. Somebody to help.
Just
know how it feels. That's my kind of stuff.
Wow, you can sing kind of, huh?
Creed. That's my kind of stuff.
Can you sing?
I can't sing. I know how to... I'm a good, like monkey see, monkey do.
Oh, I see.
I know how to repeat what I've heard.
Yeah.
I can imitate it, but I can't sing well.
I can't do impressions.
Yeah, you can.
No, I can't.
Yeah, you can.
No, I can do...
Do an impression of... De Niro.
Yeah.
De Niro. Okay. No, don't talk. Just do the face. That's good. Now give me another face of an impression of someone else you can do.
Oh, they really?
That's you. Who is that?
Yoko Ono.
Oh, Yoko.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
That's pretty good, huh?
Hey, can I ask you something?
Yeah.
Could you mind? A lot of people hit us up on the internet, and they asked us to play, and they asked us to play a little bit of some of your psychedelic rock. Can we play some of it?
No.
It's so good.
You saw it?
I actually really like that song. I'm not even kidding a little bit. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah, oh, God.
60,000 people watched the video. You probably had like 9 hits before you mentioned it. And that's you.
Yeah, that's me.
Look at how you, by the way.
Yeah.
You look so cute in this video.
Yeah.
And what pissed me off about Lax and Superb.
Yeah.
The band. And I don't know if you're friends with these guys anymore, but what pissed me off about this music video.
Yeah.
They punched in on your hands.
Yeah.
And they didn't show your fucking face till four minutes and 55 seconds in the video.
Yeah, because at the time I was just the seventh guy in the band.
It doesn't matter. You're important.
Yeah, but back then I wasn't.
You were ripping. You ripped on that fucking Roland. Those keys were getting slid on, bitch.
You fuck you, man.
I'm dead serious. It was so fun.
All right.
And then the lead singer, it's like, it's just him.
Yeah, Kevin Shule from Chicago. What's up,
but
bro?
But they show the band from a huge wide shot, and they don't get to you until 4 minutes.
Jensen Roof is in it. Alan Meadows. What's up, guys?
That's all they gave you. 5 seconds.
I know.
That's the only face shot you got right there.
I know.
Five seconds of a fave shot. That's what they
gave
you.
There were so many people in that band.
And fade out from Bob. That's it.
I know.
Honestly, though, the song I listened to over and over, and maybe it's because from that generation.
No, but
it reminded me of stuff that I love.
Let me say this, and I want to defend the band, is that...
I didn't say anything negative about it.
I just want to defend it.
Oh.
Just in case.
Okay.
Is, the music was okay. You know, it's just, what drove me crazy is that that shot right there?
Yeah.
So see that man to the right with the black, see that guy to the right with the glasses and
this
the balding
guy,
head?
This guy that the arrow's on right now.
That guy. No, it's okay. I forgot his name. But so those other three I went to high school with.
I was just going to say, this guy's balding in high school?
No, this guy, right? So we used to play this, this coffee shop called Metaphor Cafe in Escondido.
Nice.
And him and his other friend had like a Simon and Garfunkel duo band, but they were so infinitely better, but they were in their 40s.
They were just better musicians.
They were really good.
Yeah.
And so Kevin goes, why don't you join our band? So then we became like Grateful Dead. That's how many people were on the stage.
Yeah. At one point, I think you see a shot. There's 37 people in this band.
I know. So then what happened was I didn't want these two old fuckers in the band.
Why?
He just looked like a lawyer. So, and then, so what happened was, I just kind of stopped going to practice in like kind of rebelling.
In protest against them?
In protest.
Because you were like, get the old guys out or I'm not
going to come back. Yeah, so I felt like if I just stopped kind of getting involved, that they'll throw these guys out of the band. But then I remember the meeting.
Oh, shit.
They had an
intervention?
Oh, yeah. They brought me to the Metaphor Cafe during the day. And I remember sitting there. And they all collectively goes, you're out of the band. And I remember.
What?
And I remember tears just rolling off my face.
Because you thought that your move was going to, you were playing a power move. And
yeah, I was
like,
doing a power move and it backfired,
you.
Right?
Yeah.
It fucked me, right? So I go, what? Right? And then I remember this. I go, I don't know what I'm going to do. So what I did was my friend F. Scott Collins.
Was he a fucking novelist? Sounds like a writer.
He lives in Phoenix. He's a great guy. In many ways, I owe comedy to him.
Really?
Yeah, because F. Scott Collins was like this 50-year-old dude, or 40-year-old, 50-year-old dude, bald-headed, kind of military-looking guy that I met in AA. And he goes, hey, I'm doing this actor's workshop in Pacific Beach. And I go, yeah, I'm not an actor. And he goes, I know, but this guy named Gary Austin, you know who Gary Austin is?
I don't.
Okay, well, I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
I don't like your tone.
Oh, God.
All right, here we go. Gary Austin founded the Groundlings.
Oh.
Yeah, in the early 70s.
I didn't know that.
He got kicked out of the Groundlings, but he founded it.
Wait, what?
I don't know how. I don't know the politics of it, but if you go in front of the Groundlings on Melrose, there's a plaque that says his name, Gary Austin.
Gary Austin.
He died.
What did he die of?
I don't remember. But he died like maybe 10 years ago or 8 years ago. I remember being very sad when he died.
Gary Austin.
Yeah. So Gary Austin was like one of the first improvisers.
Yeah.
Right? So he used to do – so he came down to my friend F. Scott Collins' class to do just a series of classes. It cost a lot of money. I remember asking my dad for the money. He gave it to me.
To take 101, right?
Yeah. But it was through Gary Austin where I was just like, you know, we would play improv games. And I didn't really know the rules, but he taught me the rules. And
how many rules are there, by the way?
I only know two.
Yes and yes never and, say no.
Yeah. Well, yes and is that same thing. That's the same rule.
What's the other one?
Add information. Okay. Yeah, so instead of going
– how much money
– So I'll give you an example. Yeah. Right? So if you didn't have improv class
– right.
For those of you listening, I would be – we were in a scene together.
Okay, we're in a scene.
Hey, Teddy, I bought you a birthday gift. Congratulations.
Oh, man, it's not my birthday.
See, that's not – see that. That's exactly what you shouldn't do. You know that.
Right.
You did that as a joke, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So let's do the scene. So let's do this.
Yeah, yeah. So ding dong.
Ring.
Yeah, there's no door there. Yeah, that's so. Ding dong. Hey, Teddy, good morning.
Hey, Micah.
Yeah, so that's exactly what you're supposed to do. Add information, right?
Yeah.
And I go, oh, I got you a birthday gift. Here you go. Happy birthday.
Whoa, a frog.
See, there we go.
I've always wanted a frog.
See, that's how you do it. And then that would be still fine. Yeah, that would still be fine. That would still be fine because you're – so that's those are the rules. So, but I'm going to tell you,
improv is fun.
It's okay.
No. It actually is fun. I'm not talking shit.
Improv is
cool. I think it's fun when it's done really well. Same as stand up.
Yeah, but I've seen the best do it.
Yeah,
I've seen Jordan Keegan do long form with Ike Barinholtz back in the day.
Love Ike.
Love those guys. And I used to just kind of go, all right, it's long form improv. They're just like an hour and a half show.
I can't stay for that long.
Me either.
But I like little snippets.
Yeah, snippets are fine.
Yeah, I'll take little snippets.
But this is what happened. So Gary Austin, I was really into it. And Gary Austin had a class in Burbank.
How many levels did you get, by the way?
He didn't have levels.
I thought that's – don't you pay money for every level?
He wasn't at the Groundlings at the time.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. He got kicked out, I told you.
Oh, I didn't know how far along that was.
Yeah, he got kicked out in the 80s.
Oh, shit. So he's like, it's mine. And they're like, not anymore.
Right. That's what happened.
Seems nice.
So I used to drive to Burbank from San Diego and to take his classes. Wow. And I remember meeting Mindy Cohen. You know, she was on The Facts of Life.
Yes.
So she was in the class. And I remember hearing that Pat Morita had just dropped the classes, but he was doing it too.
Wow.
So I just remember being like, I thought Mindy Cohen was like being in front of Meryl Streep. Like to me at the time.
I mean, at the time, she was very famous.
But even also at the time, a kid from San Diego who doesn't know anybody. Like I didn't know anybody.
Right.
I didn't know how show business worked.
Right.
Right. So I remember just looking at all these. I thought everyone was a star.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just looking around going, oh my God, is that guy a star? He looks like Charleston Heston or whatever, you know? Maybe that's Charleston Heston. I don't know. Right?
Charleston Heston.
Yeah. So one night I went there. This actually happened. And he goes, hey, you hungry, kid? And I go.
And this is F. Scott Fitzgerald.
No, this is not F. Scott. This is Gary Austin. Gary S. goes, are you hungry, kid? And I go, yeah. I mean, I'm going to drive back to San Diego. But I could get a meal. So we went to Jerry's Diner in Studio City.
Love Jerry's.
Right.
Yeah.
And I was there with me, Gary Austin, and I don't remember the third person we were with, but we're eating. And I remember like going, I have no money. I can't pay for this.
Oh, I hated those days when you were nervous. And you're like, I'll just have a fry from someone's plate.
Well, that's what I did. I go, I'm not hungry. And he goes, you haven't eaten all day. You have no money, right? And I go, yeah. And he goes, it's on the house. I got it.
Oh, so what nice. A good deal.
So we were sitting there eating. And
so you're like 36 cheeseburgers, 97?
Yeah. And the restaurant was packed.
Yeah.
It was on a Friday night. And I had been taking the class for about a month or whatever. And I play the piano as well. And he goes, he got mad.
What do you mean?
Gary Austin. I'll tell you why. He goes, what? You fucking play the piano? And I go, yeah. He goes, how come you didn't tell me? Because, you know, we had a class where we revealed all our talents. And we talked about ourselves.
Sure.
And I just – because I'm not that great at it. I know how to play chords and stuff. You know what I mean? I don't know how basic music works, right? But I'm, like, shy. He goes, if you're shy, you're never going to make it. right?
Huh? He's right, though.
Right, right.
He's
and very I go, right. And I go, okay. And he goes, I'll tell you what, kid. You stand on this booth, and you get the attention of the whole restaurant.
Oh, shit.
And he goes, you get everyone's attention, and you tell everyone that you play the piano, right? And I promise you, this sounds so cheesy, 10 years from now, you're going to be on The Tonight Show.
And?
I said, no. And I started eating. Right. But then, you know, he let it go. And we just eat it. And I don't know what came over me. I just stood up on the fucking booth. Hey, everybody! The whole restaurant, shut up. Yeah. And I go, I play the piano! And I kid you not, this is so cheesy. The whole restaurant clapped.
Shut up.
No, I'm not kidding you.
Why?
I don't know why.
Wow.
But they all clapped. I sat down, and Gary Austin looks at me and goes, I'm proud of you, kid. And 11 years later,
you're I did on the Tonight Show. So he was wrong. So the moral is he's incorrect. The guy's fucking bad gauge of time. It was 11 years, not 10. So not a smart man.
Mm. You know, it's a story that would, no, I'll just be, let's back up for a second.
By the way, anytime an Asian kid stands up and goes, I play the piano, I would have been like, we know.
yeah.
That's really sweet, though,
Yeah, he did that. And then, so that was my first introduction to any kind of like, maybe, you know what I mean? This can happen.
Like maybe you were going to be a full-time comedian?
No, but I just thought that this is, you know, I remember taking the class and being excited. I remember driving up to LA and listening to the song Los Angeles by Frank Black because his album had just come out.
Yeah.
And just going, I can't believe I'm, you know, going to LA and doing
that's
this.
So cool, though. They have a soundtrack to go get hyped up about.
Right,
huh?
And it's funny because it's, you know, you know, when you're a young guy like that, 19, 20, and you don't know anybody in show business, and you never think that could be a part of your reality.
Yeah.
And, you know, in many ways, those times I miss. Don't you miss struggling a little bit?
It's funny. I've talked about it a little bit before, but I do miss it. I don't miss the way I used to have panic attacks at 3 a.m. about how I was going to pay rent. That I don't miss at all.
Right.
But there was something, I joked the other day, I used to live in a fucking dining room. I used to live in a dining room. 3 dudes, mm-hmm. 1 bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
They had a bedroom and I lived in a partitioned off dining room. And I slept on the floor. I had a mattress on the floor. No like bed frame. And I had a desk that I got off the street under the freeway.
Yeah.
Under the 10 freeway.
Yeah.
And the thing I missed the most was when I left my shitty, sad fucking apartment and went to go do mics, I was the same as everybody else.
Yeah.
I didn't feel poor and sad because I was out having fun, telling jokes, fucking around.
Yeah.
Until you have those vulnerable moments where you're like, fuck, I can't pay for this cheeseburger. You know, like those moments are bad.
Oh, they're terrible.
But when you were out and nothing mattered, I had no schedule. You know, you're usually young and single and dumb and down to do anything. So there is no time, there's no schedule, nothing matters.
Yeah.
I miss the fuck out of that. Yeah.
But don't you miss I remember coming to LA and there was this guy named Vic Dunlop. Do you remember Vic Dunlop?
No, but I love that name. The guy who made Dunlop Sporting Equipment? That guy?
No, man.
Vic Dunlap?
Vic Dunlop died.
Dude, all these guys died from your stories.
He was a comic.
Oh, shit. Rest in peace.
So Vic Dunlop was a big, pretty big comic, I guess, in the
80s.
Mm-hmm. I remember watching him on shows and whatever. He wasn't the biggest kind
of guy. Was he funny? Did you like him?
He's a fat guy. Pretty funny, yeah. And I remember Vic Dunlop. This is when he was going down and obviously, like, he was not playing the store anymore.
His health or his abilities?
His abilities, I guess, yeah. You know. And he used to run this coffee shop in Pasadena. I remember Vic Dunlop calling me one time. Hey, kid. This is when I first moved to LA. I'm doing this coffee shop. You should come play it, kid. You know? And I remember like turning to my roommates going, do you know who that is? And they're like, who? Vic Dunlop! As if it was like Tom Hardy or some shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you get excited
it's
about.
It's huge.
Yeah, or when I remember one time Byron Allen, right? I was doing an open mic.
Yeah.
And he came up to me and he goes, this is a long time ago. And he goes, you know about timing, kid. Keep going. And I remember like laying in bed, no money, you with like 15 dudes in a fucking 1-bedroom apartment.
Right.
But just laying there next to all your friends, going to sleep, going, that happened.
That is.
I know
cool.
It's so dumb.
No, it's great.
I know it's dumb to talk about now. Now it's like, I see guys, I'm like, fuck you.
Right, that's what you do to everybody.
Yeah. I can see Adam Sandler go, fuck you, you know what I mean? Whatever.
But the feeling was cool back then.
But back then it was so magical. And, I, you know, many times I miss that innocence and that I like the struggle.
BetterHelp.
Is there something interfering with your happiness or is preventing you from achieving your goals? I want to say this. This is my personal endorsement, okay? Mm-hmm. Is that my life didn't become freer and I didn't – I wasn't present and mindful and I didn't – this fucking app saved my life.
It did though.
Yeah.
No, it really did. There's no joke about that.
Juliana did it. Rudy did it. And she cried for like 6 hours afterwards.
I know.
Right?
I look, I did it and I don't know how to cry because my tear ducts, I think, are empty from abuse as a child. But BetterHelp is incredible. You can speak to online therapists.
Licensed professional therapists, guys.
They're legit. And you communicate right online in basically any time that that fits your schedule.
Not a crisis line, not a self-help line. It's a professional counseling done securely online, my friends.
Yeah, it's committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches. They try to pin you up with people that are going to be of your mindset and what you're looking for.
My friends, worldwide clients all over the world, my friends.
No, and honestly, we're not kidding. We've all used it, and it's better than
it's real. Yeah.
Offline counseling is probably the best thing that we can do right now. It's more affordable than that traditional stuff because we can't have access to it. Financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life. It works.
And
it really
they also
does.
Match you up with like real great therapeutic matches so that it makes it easier and free to change counselors if you need it, right?
If you
so
want to start living happy
yeah.
and you don't want to be like rude attacking people in your dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Vampire eggs and all that stuff. It's more affordable than what you're used to. It's great. Go to betterhelp.com/badfriends. That's better HELP and join the over 700,000 people taking charge of their mental health online with experienced professionals. There's a special offer for our listeners at Bad Friends. Go to betterhelp.com/badfriends and you're going to get yourself 10% off first month. betterhelp.com/badfriends. Yeah.
Beach body.
We both got beach bodies, even though Bobby hates when I wear shorts, okay? We're stuck inside. I'm very white, but I'm still trying to stay in shape. I challenge Bobby, too.
You know, I just love online workouts because, especially Beachbody, because they have the best trainers on planet Earth, I feel
true.
Like. You know what I mean? This is a company behind P90X, Insanity, and 21 Day Fix. They have trainers like, super trainers, like Tony Horton, Joel Freeman, Jericho is my favorite. Jericho Matthews and Autumn Calabrese.
Calabrese, la Cataliano. Yeah. I made Bobby try the Morning Meltdown 100, and it was actually very funny.
And I did it one morning, and it was so fucking hard. But the thing is I felt like I accomplished something afterward. It pushed me to the limit. And I just feel like I just feel really good. I'm going to do it again.
I hope you do it again. But the next time you do it, like I told
we'll tape
it. You have to wear clothes. That you can't do those.
I do it naked because I sweat a lot.
I know, but it's a little ridiculous. All right, work out on your own schedule. Workouts as short as 10 minutes. They don't require extra equipment.
Yeah,
you can do it anywhere. Bob did it from his computer. You can do it from a
tablet, smartphone, Roku, Apple TV,
Roku,
Chromecast, and more, guys.
It's the best deal right now in online fitness. Everyone's working out at home. This is the best way to get in shape, listeners. Of Bad Friends can try it for absolutely free. If you're looking for a reason to quit your gym and do this stuff from home during COVID and all this nonsense that's going on right now, you have to try it. You know, Bobby, like I said, did that 100 and it's totally worth it. You should try the service. It's legit. It's very good.
You don't want to be stagnant in quarantine, man. You need to get your body moving.
Get your blood pumping.
You get your blood pumping, guys.
And right now, our listeners can get a special free trial membership when you text
Bad Friends
to
303030.
That's 30-30-30. You'll get full access to this entire platform for free. All the workouts, the nutrition information, all the stuff that you need to know.
Totally free.
Totally free from the comfort of your home. Again, just text
Bad Friends to 30-30-30. What was the first time when you did stand-up? You did stand-up in Chicago or here first?
Here. Well, no. Phoenix in Arizona when I was in school.
Oh, you went to ASU?
Yeah.
Me and your brother
bonded so close.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you went to ASU.
Yeah.
So you did stand-up where?
There was like a local bullshit coffee shop in Mesa or Glendale or one of those spots.
Oh, right.
But I used to go to the Tempe Improv. But I couldn't get up there.
Of course.
Even the open mics was not the open mic was for people that were like comics.
Yeah, was Dan Murr there back then? You don't remember?
I don't remember.
Was Adam Egget there?
We had just missed each other.
Oh, really?
I know.
So
we talked about that. It was like we just.
Do you remember
leaving.
The first night you killed?
I remember one of the first nights Yeah. Yes. I remember one of the first nights that I did really, really well. It was at a place called Room 5. It doesn't exist anymore here on La Brea.
Uh-huh.
It's above an old, like,
I remember that place.
Armenian restaurant.
Yeah, yeah. I remember that place. Yeah.
That was the first place I ever did really well. And the guy that used to run it was like a crazy alcoholic. What was his name? Do you know who I'm talking about?
No, no.
Rick something, maybe?
Yeah.
Dude, he like, you'd show up and he was so nice. Good dude. Not a bad dude. I'm just saying, you'd show up, he'd be like, "What's up, man?" You're like, "What's going on, man?" And he's like, "Nothing, man. The lineup's over there." Da, 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 da. Within like 10 minutes, you'd turn back around and he'd be like, "Hey, you fucking."
He'd be
blacked the fuck out.
Yeah,
and he would black out for no shit, 4 or 5 hours.
Wow.
He would sit and drink and drink and drink. And then he'd go, "Are you drinking?"
Yeah. You're
like, "No, no." And he'd go, "I'm taking your fucking tickets." Because he would give those. Remember when you used to get drink tickets all the time?
Yeah,
I'm taking your drink tickets. He would just take my drink tickets, get wasted. And I'd never get paid. I never, ever, ever. It's supposed to be $5 or $10. I never got paid.
Yeah.
But I killed in that room for the first time when I ever really did it.
Yeah. And then so when you killed,
yeah,
when
you got off. Let me tell you, because you know who was there. A guy who used to come around the store doesn't come around anymore. Christian Harloff. Do you remember him?
I love Christian.
I love Christian. Yeah. He had said something. Christian was a regular at the store at the time and was.
Yeah, I love Christian Harloff.
He was going all the time. He was killing.
Yeah.
And he came up to me and he was like, in so many words, he was like, "Yeah, man, you're going to be better than this place pretty soon." And I was like, "Oh, thanks, man." And I had just done so well that I was kind of riding on this high. And he getting his respect was huge. He was a regular at the store. That was a big deal.
Yeah.
For back then, people know, like, when a regular was like, "Yeah, you're pretty funny." You were like.
Oh, so when Chris D'Elia and I saw you perform and we said to you.
It didn't matter because I knew I was good already. I was already better than you guys then.
Yeah,
when,
but
when you and Chris were like, "Oh, this guy's great." It's like, "Yeah, I'm better than both of you guys." Yeah, do it right into your own microphone.
That was sad. That was sad.
Did you get that? Did you see him on that frame?
Yeah.
Perfect.
That was sad.
Scoot over this way a little bit. There you go. Why was it sad?
Because I went to the drummer boy, but it didn't happen.
No, but that's what you did. No, when you and Chris said something nice about me, it was very wonderful. It made my. I want to ask you when you talked about the Groundlings thing because I totally forgot. UCB closed down. Do you know that?
Forever.
That's what I read online.
Yeah, I don't know if that's true.
What do you mean? It's fucking
everything's closed. It's quarantine, baby.
No, closes. UCB closes. Upright Citizen Brigade training center will be closed
forever.
Yeah, forever.
Wow.
New York, not LA.
Not LA. New York.
Yeah, New York.
Yeah.
Sad.
You know, it is sad. It's one of those venues for me, like Largo, where it's a little.
You'd go there and bomb.
Not just bomb. I just when I went there, I never felt like I was a part of it.
Because we're not. That's an exclusive little group.
I know. I mean, you would get invited to do some sort of improv show or do stand up in an improv show. You know, they always had like a hook. It couldn't just be stand up.
Yeah.
You got to do stand up, but then there's an interview where you have to play a character.
Someone's going to throw something at the audience at you just out of nowhere, and it's an object that we gave them, and so you just have to play with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It might hit you in the face. It might not.
Yeah, but it's one of those places where I go, I always thought to myself, I'm not cool enough.
Well, they always had kind of – there's always a vibe there. Right, but this is the only way I explained it. Whenever I would feel like shit because I go there and do a show and do fine or something.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck? It's the same jokes I do back at the – I always would walk away going, this is how people feel when they come to the store.
Mm,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I felt the balance was right where I was like, oh, I deserve to feel like that. Because I know people come up to me and they're like, the fucking store makes me feel like shit whenever I go. I'm like, what?
Yeah. I think the store is for people that experience trauma.
Yeah, a lot of it.
Yeah, because I know a lot of like wholesome, just nice people with good upbringings who get a really strange vibe from the Comedy Store where like they feel just as soon as they get there, uncomfortable.
Like gross, yeah.
And just intimidated,
yeah.
You know?
It is, though. It is very intimidating.
But it's just, you know, you can't fuck with the history, man.
No.
You can't fuck with the history and the level of talent.
Did you, when you bombed for the first time at the store, like, do you remember your first, like, bad show there? Yeah?
I can tell you what it is.
Yeah. Come on, baby.
I know I'm going to say it, but I have to think about.
Come on, Papa.
I don't want to start a war.
Let the Papa tell the story.
I'll tell a story.
You're not going to start a war.
So this is what happened. Oh, fuck. Sorry. So this is when I was opening up for Mencia a lot.
Turn it off.
Okay.
Because I want to pay attention.
It's all right. Relax.
Your volume thing on the side.
I don't know how.
Right there where
I'm
your thumb is.
Turn the whole thing off.
Oh, look at that. That's responsible.
Yeah.
Rudy's laughing. Rudy likes it.
Rudy loves it. So
yeah,
I was living in San Diego, but Mitzi had made me a paid regular
at La Jolla or at
no. What I got lucky. So 2 years in, Paulie called me and goes, "Dude, I saw you in open mic, and I'm looking for an MC for my Vegas show." And I go, I was working the door in La Jolla, and I go, "All right,
yeah."
So he flew me out there, and it was in front of. This is, he was huge at the time, 5,000 people.
Where was it at in Vegas?
Top of the Riv.
Wow.
Right. So Steve Schirripa was like the guy there. You know Schirripa?
Yes. So 5,000 people?
Yeah. And I remember Schirripa going, "Hey, kid." And he called me Ching because Dice used to call me Ching.
What?
Yeah. Dice used to call me Ching.
C-H-I-N-G?
Yeah.
C-H-I-N-K.
Yeah. Yeah. So he go.
What are you saying? Which one are you saying?
Ching with a G.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah. Not Chink. Not Chink. That's illegal.
No, it's not.
It's cancel.
You can't. You could have said it back then. We said it all maybe, the time.
Maybe. Yeah, you guys did. Huh,
just a Shane Gillis got canceled from it. That's now. Yeah, back yeah, then, yeah, it was yeah. fine.
Yeah, yeah. So Shrippa used to call me Ching, and then
yeah.
And he go, "Hey, Ching, if you do 6 minutes, I'll break your legs.
Oh yeah.
If you do 4 minutes, I'll break your legs. You do 5.
That's it. That's what you got to do.
And I remember just being, "I like my legs." You know what I mean? Just like, you know, literally taking it literally.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh, he's in the mafia.
It's also Vegas. Maybe it was. I mean, like,
well, you'd hear stories that he was connected to the mafia or whatever,
yeah,
right?
He was.
So I remember it was, I had been doing comedy for 2 years and I went up. I don't remember what I did. And then I brought up Wild Willie Parsons. I don't know.
Wild Willie Parsons.
Yeah.
His picture's still down.
He's
at
still
the store.
Up there.
Yeah.
So Wild Willie Parsons went up, did 30. But when I got off stage, backstage, huge place, right?
Yeah.
I see Mitzi coming up to me.
Oh shit.
And I'm an open micer. She goes, "Hey, Mommy." And I go,
"What is that impression?"
That's her. That's how she sounded.
I know, but you do it like she's like,
yeah, that's what she sounded like.
Bobby.
Mommy.
Yeah.
I go, "Yeah, Mitzi." That's how I used to sound.
Mm-hmm.
Scared.
Mm-hmm.
"Well, yeah, what? Why? What's up? Did I do something wrong?"
Yeah.
And she goes, "You're a regular at all my clubs."
Oh, wow.
And that's how I got in.
Damn.
How lucky.
That must have felt so fucking good.
So lucky. So I was living in San Diego in a regular, but Mitzi goes, "Hey, dude. Hey, bro. You come up and do, you know, come to L.A., bro." So I went up there on a Saturday night. And Mitzi saw me there. And I was hanging out with Carlos in the main room, green room.
Mm-hmm.
And Carlos goes, "Hey, Mitzi, put him up." Right?
You're a new comic.
I'm new.
Yeah.
And Mitzi goes, "Yeah, you go up." And Joe Rogan's there. And Joe Rogan goes, "Mitzi, he's from fucking San Diego. He's not funny." Or something like that. "He's not fucking funny." Right?
Yeah.
"He'll be fine." That's what she said.
Yeah.
I went up there. Not only did I not hear any laughs, I hear Rogan in the back going, "I fucking told you he's not funny. He's not fucking funny, Mitzi. He's from La Jolla."
Yeah.
Right? And I remember eating it so bad.
You can feel it.
Oh, my God. It was also like one of those sets where I went, "Oh, maybe I'm not going to make it."
Yeah. Oh,
you know, maybe. God. Yeah, maybe it's just like I was a local. Yeah, in San Diego, what? Who am I competing against, you know?
Right.
But maybe in the big leagues, I just don't have it. In retrospect, it's because I just wasn't.
You weren't ready.
I wasn't ready.
That's all. You were good. You just weren't ready.
I wasn't even good. It was just like, I just know I wasn't ready.
Can you give me one of your jokes that bombed
up? Oh, yeah. I used to do, "I'm so lonely," right? That's how it is. "I'm so lonely. When I masturbate, I grab my own ass." Right?
Oh,
and I go,
God.
And then I turn around and I go, do me. And I start squeezing my cheeks. Yeah. And then my opening line was, I used to make my hair really messy.
Yeah.
So it was out of control.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go, "I'm not really Asian. I just woke up."
Oh my God.
And it used to get crushed.
In San Diego.
But when I did it in the main room, nothing.
Nothing.
And it was so funny. Yesterday, the Sklar Brothers, I did something with them. And the Sklar Brothers was around back then.
What did you do with the Sklar Brothers?
I couldn't help it.
I thought we're quarantining.
I couldn't. No, I didn't. I did it through.
Oh, Zoom?
Zoom.
Oh, okay. But why?
Because my I know, but the thing is,
I like them too.
They're twins.
I know, I like them too.
Yeah.
They got mad at me, by the way.
Well, I mean, I just finished. I made fun of Star Wars. Oh, I hate Star Wars, but they went through my agent and my manager. They kept calling me, and then I didn't respond. So then they went to Abby and Matt, and they called me. Hey, what about the Sklar brothers? And I went, well, they have my number. So then when they directly called me, I couldn't say no.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that. But anyway, the Sklar brothers, let me just finish this, and then you go into that. So okay. Sklar brothers, I remember I was so bad back then that they pulled me aside one night. And they go, hey, you know, you're confident up there, but, like, we don't know anything about you.
Yeah.
Because you know, they're, like, really direct. And I go, what do you mean? Like, I mean, you're just doing jokes about – they don't make any sense. You're doing ninjas on Southwest.
Right.
I used to do a bit called Ninjas on Southwest. Yeah. And he goes, it just – that doesn't – you know, you, there's nothing that we know.
What's
be
the
more
premise
real.
Of, what's the premise of that bit, the ninjas in the Southwest?
Because back then in security checkpoints, they used to have a big – a weapons, like no weapons, yeah. And then
they had tomahawk
guns,
was one of them.
Tomahawk, but they also samurai. Had, they also had nunchucks.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I go, I mean, how many ninjas are, you know what I mean? That's their job, to sneak, right? And you'll see a smoke bomb, and then they're in this overhead compartment, you know what I mean? And then I used to go, you cannot see me.
That's a good joke.
Yeah, that's a good joke. I did that Tonight Show. But they go, so then I remember them saying that, and I remember going, I fucking hate the Sklar brothers.
Yeah.
For years.
For how long?
For like 5 years.
Yeah.
When I see the Sklar. But then when I got what they were saying, and when I started doing what they were suggesting,
right,
I went, they were trying to help.
Yeah. They were just trying to give you some tips.
Well, just a direction to go.
You know who said the meanest thing about those guys? And I love them. They're great, too. They're nice to me.
I love them.
The meanest thing. And they said this on stage. They said Dave Attell gave them the best and the worst, meanest intro of all time.
What was it?
They brought up Attell. Attell was at the store.
I love him.
And they did very well. And then they bring up Dave. And Dave gets up there. You know, he's like already like
Yeah.
He's like, give it up for the Sklar brothers. And people start clapping. He goes, I didn't know boring came in stereo.
Wow.
And they both were like, and I don't know, I can't remember if it was Randy or something. So Jason was like, they were both like honored.
Yeah.
To get like shit on by him.
Yeah.
But also they were like, maybe he means it.
Yeah.
Like, because he's good like that.
You know who used to give me the worst intros?
Who?
Mark Maron.
Oh, well, yeah. What the fuck?
No,
yeah.
It got to the point.
I could see him doing that on purpose.
I had to say it.
That you were like, thanks for the shitty intro?
No, I had to pull him aside and go, literally, I'm going to, I'll kill you. I can kill you if you do that again.
Yeah.
And he goes, what do you mean? I can't do it.
What was it? What was the word? What was
this?
It?
Next guy gives you high energy because, you know, he wants you to like him.
Fuck you.
Right. And he's like kind of a dancing clown.
Fuck you.
Right. So here comes, you know, Mr. Needy.
Fuck you.
Right. And I remember just pulling him aside and go, you know, you might be right. I mean, you might be right.
Sure.
I might be needy.
Yeah.
And I don't play a guitar or do props.
But only your friends get to call you Mr. Needy.
Yeah, but it's just also, it's like there's certain theatrics that I do that maybe through time I'll let go of, but it's just not your job. You know, I give great intros.
You do. You give probably the best in the game. It is really funny for a comic to say someone else is needy. We're all fucking needy bitches. That's why we're on stage doing comedy.
And then, but then Mark, over the years after that, gave me the best intros.
He said one of the nicest things I've ever heard in my life.
What?
We talk very sparingly, as Mark does. Mark's like that. And when I was on that I'm Dying Up Here show, the show had said they were going to submit me for consideration for an Emmy.
Wow.
And I was like, why? I was like, I don't – that's
because you're a great actor.
No, but I was like, that's a stupid idea. I don't even want to be – I was like, I don't even want to be in the idea of that world.
Jules, we should watch the show he was on.
No.
It was on Showtime. It was
But let me say.
Let me just finish. And Eric Griffin's on it too.
And Al Madrigal.
But Jim Carrey produced it.
Yeah.
It was on Showtime. It just came out a year ago.
It got canceled.
It doesn't matter. We should watch it.
Anyway, but I'll say this. They said they were going to – they were going to put me up for an Emmy. And honestly, genuinely, when they said that, I did tell my agent. I was like, I don't really want to do that because I know it's a political process. I don't want to do interviews and stuff. I don't really like that stuff. I'm not good at that.
Right.
And I'm not good at hiding my poker face. Like, I don't have, like, when they're like, how was the show?
You're
like, I don't give a fuck. What do you mean? Why are we talking about it?
Yeah,
I don't like
it. Yeah.
So they said that. And then because Mark is on the why can't I think of the wrestling show? I'm so stupid.
It's called Glow.
Glow. And they're on Showtime as well. Or
no,
are
they're
they?
On Netflix.
HBO? Netflix?
Netflix? Yeah, you're
whatever
wrong.
It is.
Yeah.
It was at the same time that people were getting considered. And Mark came up to me out of nowhere. We always say hi, and that's kind of it. And he goes, hey, you're really good on that show. I said, oh, thanks, Mark. And he goes, you know, I voted for you. I voted for you.
Really?
I swear to God in my life.
Yeah.
I was like, seriously? And
yeah.
He goes, yeah. Yeah. Later, man. And he left. And I remember, I called my wife, and I go, that's the nicest thing. Mark was like so out of nowhere. Because he doesn't really do that out of nowhere.
He did that. Okay. A year ago, he came up to me and goes.
By the way, then, I DM'd him like a week later.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, man, I just want to say like that was really awesome that you did that. And he left me on scene. Which is Mark being like, yeah, fuck you.
He said to me last year, he goes, you're working a lot, right? I see you all the time working a lot.
Yeah.
I go, yeah, I'm working. That's crazy. He goes, you deserve it.
That's so nice.
And it, when Mark does that, it just, it's touching.
Yeah. You know, why don't you cry, Bubble?
I can't.
Oh, okay.
I can't do it. I tried.
You can't?
I have no feelings.
Honey. We all shop online a lot. Bob shops constantly. I can't get him around a computer.
I can't.
Without him shopping
and
at one of his favorite stores.
And I would love to have coupons and to get me a cheaper deal on the things that I buy. And that's why Honey is so important.
Yeah, it's a free online shopping tool. It saves you money online. It automatically finds the best promo codes and applies them automatically to your cart. You don't even have to do anything. So
I mean, imagine
easy.
going on sites like Target, Best Buy, Sephora, Macy's, eBay, et cetera, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you check out, this little box drops down, and all you have to do is click the app, apply coupons.
It's that easy. Okay, look, I was shopping the other day amongst getting groceries. I also needed a new cheese grater and other kitchen utensils. And when I bought that online at Target, I got myself a coupon. I saved a couple of bucks. How much did I save, you ask? None your business. It was $10.28. But it was worth it. It was amazing that you saved money. I didn't
it
have
really
to do
does.
Anything.
You do really do save money.
It's incredible.
With this thing, guys.
They have 18 million members and $2 billion in savings. A lot of people have used it. Honey is really great.
30,000 stores online they support, and they're adding money every fucking day, man.
Every single day. Not using Honey when you're shopping online is literally passing up free money. You don't have to do anything. They give it to you. It's free to use, free to install. It's backed by PayPal. You know you can trust PayPal.
Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/bad friends.
That's joinhoney.com/bad friends. That's right.
Buffy.
Boy, do we love Buffy. We've talked about it before. We actually do use it and
we
love
use
it.
I've said this before and I'll say it again, is that I don't generally trust Andrew Santino with stuff. And then when he suggested to take this Buffy comforter at home, it's the only comforter that we use. It is the most comfortable thing that I've ever owned in my whole entire fucking life. Okay. It's made from ultra-smooth eucalyptus fiber that feels softer
than
cotton.
It is way softer than cotton.
It's breathable, cool to the touch, and it maintains an ideal sleeping temperature, and you can feel cozy without overheating at night, my friend.
And here's the problem. So when Bobo sleeps, he always says that at night he gets really sweaty, and Kalila doesn't like waking up in a pool of his sweat.
Yeah.
But the eucalyptus fiber makes it so that eucalyptus fiber makes it so it doesn't happen. And it's also earth-friendly. It keeps you cool at night. And warm when it's cold.
And Cheeto, this is what Cheeto likes most about Buffy, although it is the most uncomfortable thing, is that it's cruelty-free and hypoallergenic.
That's right. I don't like down feathers, no animal products in there. I like it. I like it that they are earth-friendly, they don't test on pets, and it's hypoallergenic.
No feathers.
No feathers. Their products have almost 20,000 five-star reviews, you guys. They're incredible. They're offering you a free trial. Listen, Bob knows I got a second one and gave to him, and I said, if you don't like it, you can seriously give it back, and you kept
You'll never get it back.
That's right.
Never get it
You can
back.
Try their products on your own bed for free in your bed. Don't commit without
for
even committing to buy.
$20 off your Buffy bedding, visit Buffy.co and enter code
Bad Friends. Once again, for $20 off your Buffy bedding, visit Buffy.co and enter the code
Bad Friends, my friends, my friends.
Yes. Can you cry on cue, Rude?
No.
No. She can't even talk this one.
Try right now, though. Try to get emotional.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't.
Imagine Bob just kicked you out of the house and he left you back on the street. And you have to fend for yourself.
Oh, back. I want to talk about that real quick, okay? So Ed.
Uh-oh.
So Ed from 90 Day Fiancé was dating.
Are you going to put her up for bait?
No, they're not seeing each other anymore.
So he's single?
He's single.
So this is perfect.
I think Rosemary said, he only gave me two things. I think he only did the show to get famous.
I love it. I like him even more now.
So I love him more. So then I looked at Rudy and I went, For the team! Fuck him for the team!
You use her for bait?
Get him on Tiger Belly.
For Mayo Head Ed.
Yeah. Why you don't find him attractive?
No.
Say it in the mic.
No.
Why?
He doesn't have a neck.
That's true.
He doesn't have a neck.
Yeah, he looks like a melting candle.
God, it's so... I mean, look, come on. You know what I mean? It's so creepy. Everything about that thing is creepy to me.
That show or him?
The show is... I love the show. It's still creepy, but he's really creepy. The fact that he's like... Can I give you a kiss?
Oh, I know. Or also it's like, when he was giving her the foot massage.
Ugh, gross.
Any fucking guy that says, I give the best. You don't brag about your own skills.
Nobody does that. Nobody brags about a foot massage, by the way. I give the best foot massage.
When you say that, it's like, get the fuck away from my feet.
But then they zoomed in on her leg and she had legs like hairy, hairy legs.
That's cultural. She has hairy legs.
Yeah?
But I shave.
But when you lived in the Philippines, did you just grow it wild?
Yeah.
And when you got here, it was like...
Yeah.
Is that super normal that no women shave their legs? What about the armpits?
Yeah, we don't.
But doesn't it bother you to have hairy legs or no? It doesn't matter.
Not really.
Get closer to the mic, Jules.
Not really.
No? But armpits kind of bother you though, right? Yeah, hairy armpits?
Kind of, but when I lived in the Philippines, it didn't matter.
It doesn't matter, huh?
Culturally,
do any women there shave legs and armpits or no?
Some do, but
it's rare, huh?
Yeah, it's rare.
I guess they don't feel. They don't get like.
Well, you don't get. But I would imagine you don't get that much. You don't get thick hair, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I imagine like your legs don't get like Asian hair tends to be very thin like that.
Yeah.
Like your leg hair. You don't have thick leg hair.
Gookie monkeys.
There it is. It is funny that the women don't shave their legs, but so many of the men there do. Isn't that funny? The men shave their legs, right? There's men that love shaving their legs. Dude, can you believe this? Somebody sent this to me today. Harvey Weinstein says he's free of coronavirus symptoms. This fat piece of shit who walks around debilitated with a fucking walker said he beat the virus.
Mm.
That doesn't make you mad? Doesn't that blow your fucking... That's how you know that they've got a cure. That's how you know.
Yeah.
How the fuck does this fat blob slob piece of shit, this guy,
But you know that that's an act, right?
Even if, that still looks like he should be
gone. I understand that, but the thing is he...
No, this whole feel bad for me thing, I'm in a walker, it's an act.
Yeah, that's a complete act. He's not as frail.
And who is this character behind him from Guess Who? Who's this guy from... What the fuck is that?
Yeah.
No, I know this is an act. I know this is an act.
I know dudes like that. So the guy that owns Mad TV.
What do you mean? The guy that started the...
He's a big kind of old Hollywood mogul. His name is David Salzman. Do you know him?
David Salzman.
Yeah.
It sounds familiar.
Yeah, so he used to produce, back in the day, Dallas.
Oh, yeah,
Judge
yeah.
Judy. He also was partners with Quincy Jones for many, many years, right?
The greatest producer in the history of music.
Right, yeah. So David Salzman, he still hangs out with the Laugh Factory. He's like this old...
How old is he?
He's older than him.
Well, he's only 68.
David Salzman's got to be in the 70s, right?
Right.
But Salzy, if you fucking touch his legs, I always grab his like groin and his like thighs and stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's literally like made out of cement.
He's like hard as a rock.
He's so strong.
Solid.
Right? So I think that like old Hollywood moguls like Salzman, I think Weinstein's in that way.
Really?
Yeah, they look frail, but they're super, like, they do shit at night that we're not aware of.
Right.
Like, they fucking do matzo ball fucking, you know what I mean?
Matzo ball?
Whatever the dude would do. They, you know what I mean?
They lift matzo balls for
weight? Yeah, or whatever, I don't know.
Welcome to the Jewish gym.
Yeah.
But I know what you mean. This is an act, but still, though, dude, the fact that he beat it, and guys like this, like look at this kid, Washington State, this football player, 22 years old in great shape, and he dies. That's how you know something's going on.
No, I think
there's a cure. If you're rich enough, they got it. If you're rich enough, they got it.
You think though?
How do you think Magic beat AIDS before everybody else? You think
he didn't beat it?
Yeah, he did. It's undetectable. HIV is undetectable
but
in his blood.
It's still within him.
No, it's undetectable in his blood. They literally can't detect it. And now they have two people that they've completely, quote unquote, cured undetectable, but it took them 20 years.
It's like these serial killers that find Jesus and, you know, they find Jesus in jail.
Yeah.
And they go, yeah, I'm saved.
Yeah.
No matter I don't give a fine. I believe that, right?
Yeah.
But deep down inside,
they're not saved.
Yeah. There's something going on.
Do you think if you got really sick, you'd find Jesus?
I can't do it.
No?
No. I just because of the Crusades and just because of just their ideology and their.
You didn't have any religion growing up anyway.
Not really, no.
But I know
the church.
Let me ask this though. You know how like whites always have white Jesus in Catholic churches? Black people have black Jesus sometimes in their church. Do Asians have Asian Jesus?
Buddha.
No, but I'm saying, is there ever Jesus that's Asianed out?
No, like
if you walk into a church in Korea.
The number one religion in Korea is Christianity. I don't know if you know this.
Yes, I do.
It is. And if you look at their Jesus, right, it's not like.
So funny, though.
Can you know what I mean? It's the white one.
Up on the cross like this.
Right.
Behind the pulpit.
Yeah.
But they use the white one.
Yeah.
That's my point. In black churches, they will use a black Jesus.
No, they use the white one. Yeah.
Why?
Because I think.
It's the safe one?
Yeah, I don't know. I think Asians secretly, you know, they admire whites.
Not all of them.
I think they're on the same kind of, you know, there's some oppressing going on.
Right.
Right. And right. Capitalism, you know, is their number one thing, really.
In Asia?
In Korea, yeah. In China, obviously. Capitalism runs
rules. Yeah. So what, they're okay with white Jesus?
Yeah, it's like I know so many Korean chicks that are married to white dudes, but if they were married to a Vietnamese dude or any other person—
Mom and dad would lose it.
They would disown them.
Wow.
My cousin, God, I don't want to say this out loud.
Say it.
Eddie.
Yeah.
Married a Vietnamese woman. She's really nice.
Yeah.
I love her.
What's her name? Yeah. It doesn't matter. Yeah, he married a Vietnamese girl. Tran.
And my uncle and aunt, who I love, Jaganapa and Jaganoma.
Jaganapa.
And Jaganoma. They didn't go to the wedding.
No.
Yeah. Because she was Vietnamese.
Damn, really?
We may have to cut that part out.
Nah, leave it.
It's pretty personal.
But it's real.
It is pretty real, yeah.
They didn't go to the wedding? That's kind of harsh, man.
Yeah, so I remember just growing up getting in fights with my parents about all that stuff. It's like
did your parents ever tell you if you marry a non—
There
it is.
Hey, if you're gay, I'll rip your dick off.
Yeah.
And like you're eating Thanksgiving dinner. I didn't say anything about being gay.
Yeah.
He would just make these statements. If your girlfriend is a black, I kill everybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you hear stuff like that. But then as you get older, you go, what? That's crazy.
Yeah.
What the fuck are you talking about? But we're all the same.
But for them.
But then they would change. So right. when Obama ran for president the first time, we are going to vote for, who was it, the guy that he was running against? Not McCain. Was it McCain?
Yeah, John McCain, right?
McCain. Because we live here in Arizona. And I'm like, no, you're voting for Obama. Like, okay. I mean, they were like.
And they just would.
They would just do what I would say.
Because they realize at some point your parents kind of realize that you might know more than them.
Yeah, also they know that I will be, like, you know, it's like, you know.
You'll be alive when they're gone.
It's not even that. It's like, I really believe this. It's, I know a lot of white kids, right? They go.
Right here.
I know, but you're not this kind.
Okay.
White kids, like, yeah, my parents are huge MAGA.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And I'm like, oh, but you're not. Yeah, man, it's crazy. It's like that point of view is crazy. I go, but how do you know, it's your job to change them.
Yeah, but a lot of,
well, like your parents, what are they?
That's hard. I think they're traditionally conservative people, but they're not MAGA people.
But they voted for him?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know.
You've never asked?
Not really. But we make fun of them so much that I just figured we're on the same page.
Ah, yeah.
Like my Twitter with my text with my parents and my sister.
Yeah.
It's us just sending Trump clips.
Yeah.
But they're traditionally conservative people.
Yeah, so are my parents. But it's like, I just try to sway their, you know.
Like my mom, I told my mom liked because I liked Pete Buttigieg. She liked him too.
Yeah.
A gay veteran. I thought that was a good liberal. That if you're going to have a liberal candidate, I was like, get a gay fucking veteran in
there. Yeah.
A guy who sucks cock and shoots guns?
Yeah, that's the one.
Get him in there. Yeah. I thought he was, I think he was too young. People don't like young guys. For some reason, this country's obsessed with old, why do we like old guys to be a president? Why can't it just be someone young?
Because I think that because.
You're like, he's been around.
Because George Washington wore that white wig.
Yeah.
And he looked like he's a 90-year-old angel.
It's because he was bald.
I know. My point, though, is that. They always had like, you know, older dudes through generations.
Because it feels like we know more than you.
Yeah, but they don't.
No shit.
Yeah.
No shit.
Because look at Canadian's guy.
Who's Canadian? Oh, Trudeau?
Yeah.
He's a young guy. Yeah.
Young guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He you can tell he's just power fucks.
He power fucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, right? Like hard. You know what I mean? Whereas Trump looks like he does sloppy fucking.
Ugh.
Like you hear this noise. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then I'm done.
Yeah.
Right?
He goes, I'm going to wait till you feel this a lot.
Yeah. And then he's done.
I'm done.
And it's like in her belly button.
Yeah.
You know, Melania's belly button. And she's like, oh, that wasn't even
this feels good to me. And I am liking this.
Yeah.
That poor fucking robot slave. Look at this. I want to bring up this article. I wanted you to see this.
Another one?
This is really sad. I got a couple of news pieces I want to share with you. New York man and girlfriend quarantined in Mexico are shot and killed. This is why we're at the fucking bottom of journalism right now, by the way. You want to know why we're at the butt bottom of journalism? Mm. Okay. This Minnie Vonnie Burke out of NBC News, look what she did. New York man and girlfriend quarantined in Mexico shot and killed. Okay. This is really sad. He goes down to Mexico to quarantine with this woman he loves, right?
Mm-hmm.
Police say 20 gunshots fired at the vehicle. Nobody's been arrested. All right. He met Baca, a physical education teacher in Juarez during a trip to Texas. He goes down there to quarantine. He was a good dude. His friend said, this one really fucked me up. Another friend, Adam Howe, said Landers had been in Mexico for about 3 weeks, and the last time the two spoke was a few days before his death. Howe said Landers told him he was trying to learn Spanish and joked about gaining weight from eating too many churros. Why the fuck is that in an article about a guy who got shot 20 times? Why the fuck is there a joke? Trying to learn Spanish, he was eating too many churros. Anyway, he's fucking dead. Why is that the joke they put in there?
It might not be a joke. What if that's real?
Why would that be the thing? Okay.
That's information I want to know.
Ready? I'm NBC News.
Yeah, yeah.
Blah, 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 blah.
Who am I playing?
You. Blah, 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 blah.
Hello.
Hi, is this Bobby Lee?
Yeah.
Hey, Bob, we have some terrible news to tell you. A friend of yours, a guy who you do a podcast with, Andrew Santino, was brutally gunned down and murdered.
Ooh, what?
Yeah, in Mexico, in Juarez. He was killed.
No.
What? Yes, yeah. Can we get a quote from you, please? What can we say about, what can you say about him?
What I like about him, he doesn't look good at shorts.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, he's got shorts.
Thick, orangey, jungly eyebrows.
Well, he used to because they shot his head clean off his body. About 150 bullets to his
face.
Yeah.
And then he, his skin's so pinkish.
Okay. Thank you, Bob.
Yeah, that's what I would say.
That would be the quote, his skin's so pinkish.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And he liked to drink beer.
I don't like beer.
I don't know. I would just make it up.
Oh, so that's what this guy did.
Yeah. I would just make it up.
He's like, he probably was getting away from eating churros. And they're like, no, he's dead. He's like, yeah. Okay.
I would say,
that's what you
he
really
probably
say?
Deserved it.
That's what you would say?
Yeah. Let me ask you that. I'll be the reporter.
Okay.
Be real, though.
Okay.
You know what? You're right. You know what? You're right.
No, I'm going to be real.
I want to do a real one, too, now.
Okay.
I'll call you, but then I want to do a real one, too. Let's be as real as we can.
Okay, call me.
But if you're not real, I'll know.
Okay. All right.
Vring, vring. Vring, vring.
It's an unknown number.
Vring, vring. Vring, vring.
Block.
Oh. I'll call it again. Vring. Oh, it went right to voicemail.
Okay, here. Hello?
That's it.
Hello? Who's this?
Hey!
No, we don't want any.
No, I'm a reporter for the Philadelphia Inquirer.
Oh, my God. Okay. What? Why?
Yeah, so anyway, we just got some startling news, and we just want to get a quote from your you're a guy that you are associated with.
I'm sorry. I'm a what? What is he to me?
He's somebody that you work with.
Oh, my God. Who?
Bobby Lee.
Bobby Lee. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, anyway, they just found parts of his body. Just he's dead. They chopped him up and they put him in a dumpster.
Jesus.
And then one dumpster was in front of behind a P.F. Chang's. The other one was behind a Panda Express. We have no idea what the connection is. But why are you laughing, sir?
I'm not.
Yeah, and they found his foot in Alejandro's desk.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow. That's terrible.
Yeah. So how do you feel? Do you have any quotes or?
Yeah, I got a couple of quotes. I mean, just off the top of my head, I guess a fork in the road emerged and I took the one less traveled. No, I really do. I loved Bobby very much.
It doesn't sound your emotional.
No. I mean it. I did love him very much. He was great. He was a wonderful dude, a very, very good comic. And I'm going to miss him very much. And I think it's sad. I think it's sad that he's gone now and can never really tell his truth. But, you know, what's that? What's his truth? Is that what you said?
He hung up. Because let me say something.
He was into bestiality. He had sex with all of his animals.
Okay.
Put that in the paper. That's how they reverse sneeze. They begin reverse sneezing when you put your pipe in their butt. That's how they reverse sneeze. I would be so sad if you were gone.
But that's not real, man.
Yeah, I'd be so sad if you were gone.
Yeah.
I would literally just be like,
what? What happened?
But you'd still be playing.
Yeah, I'd be playing. Yeah, yeah. Playing a video game. Witcher 3. You're trying to upgrade my armor.
By the way, somebody told us that Witcher was on your phone or Stardew was on your phone. You said, no, it's not. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, but it's not the kind of...
Don't get mad at them.
The version on your phone can't be as complex as the actual console one, okay?
Okay. Tell me about this. Hold on. Police show photos. Crystal meth in hotel room where Andrew Gilliam was found. Andrew Gilliam is he's the guy who's running for former Democratic candidate for Florida governor. This guy, this party boy, dude. Check this out. Mm. This is my favorite shit. Crystal meth was found in there?
Mm-hmm.
Look at this shit. Dyson said he was a porn star performer, solicited business as a gay male escort party. But look at how many drugs. Look at how fun this is. Here's what was in there. Citalopram, gabapentin, Xanax, a vial containing mixture of papaverine, fentanylamine, aloprasidil, and a combo used to treat erectile dysfunction.
Oh, my God.
This dude. Do you know what any of those are, except for Xanax?
I know what Xanax is. I know what... No, I don't know any of that.
Fentanylamine. Aloprasidil. Yeah. Aloprasidil.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a combination used to treat, but all these they put together to treat limp dick.
Yeah. That probably, it's not because he has mental disorder, is that meth affects your...
Yeah, you're able to fuck like a champ.
You can fuck, but it's difficult to get hard when you're on meth.
So these things combined get you hard?
It's like when people do people drink and they get sleepy.
Yeah,
they combined it with cocaine or they put, they drink vodka... Red Bull. Yeah, something like that to even out.
I know, but that sounds like a lot of cocktail of drugs to like even out one.
Did he die?
No, dude, he's alive.
Oh, he is.
This guy's alive.
Well, why is it news?
They busted him because they released all these photos of meth. They were like, what happened to this guy who's running for governor? He got busted in a hotel room. He said he was at a wedding. That's my favorite thing is when they were like, oh, no, I was just at a wedding having some fun. I ended up in a hotel room. None of that stuff is mine. Look at all these fucking pills. Dude, my neighbor used to throw pill parties in West Hollywood.
I love pill parties.
Like he would throw, but he not like this, dude. You didn't like it like this.
Ask Joey Diaz.
No. What I'm telling you is he would have gay methed out fuck.
Yeah,
pill
that's
party.
What I'm saying.
Oh, okay. He would know shit at all hours of the night. He would have guys coming and going and coming and going by the dozens. I mean, dude would be coming and going, mm-hmm. and they would be fucking and partying.
Yeah.
Till 5, 6, 7, 8 in the morning.
I love that.
And the only reason I know. Is because I would come home late from the store and I'd see them and he kind of had a few moments with me like, hey, you're cool, right? Like, you're not a snitch. And I was like, yeah, I'm not a snitch. I just don't want, I don't want people coming at 5 in the morning. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like 2 a.m. is fine. 3 Look, let me say this is my PSA. If you're going to if you live in a gay neighborhood and you want meth fuck parties, that's chill. But on weeknights, can you keep it to like 3 a.m., 4 a.m.?
I know.
Don't do 6 a.m. I can hear you guys fucking and banging.
The slapping.
Well, I was
snorting and slapping.
I was, because I was the only straight guy in my complex.
And
you know what? My old Italian landlord, the funniest thing on earth. When I go to look at the apartment, she's Nuncia. That was her name. She goes,
You're a Santino.
I said, yeah, I'm Santino. She goes, you're not Italiano. Yeah. I said, no, I am. My father is. My mother's Irish. She goes, oh, only half. And I said, yes, only half. And she goes, okay. Well, here is the apartment. And I go, oh, this is really nice. And I look around and I like it. And I go, this is pretty great. I would love to take this apartment. And she goes, I'm not kidding. She goes, are you a gay? Yeah.
No, yeah.
And I was like, no, I'm not gay. And she goes, really?
Yeah.
That's a good.
But you seem gay to your people.
Probably.
Yeah.
And then I said, no, I'm not gay. And she goes, yeah, everyone here is a gay. It's in the middle of West Hollywood.
Yeah.
I go, yeah, no, I like the neighborhood. It's close to comedy clubs. That's where I work. So I want to stay close to comedy clubs. And she goes, okay, good. Well, this is good for you. This apartment is good for you. It's good for me. You seem nice. And I was like, God, I can't believe somebody would give this apartment up. Not making this up. This is a fact. I have proof of this.
Yeah.
She goes, the man who lived here before, he died.
Yeah.
And I go, oh, really? Oh, my God, that's terrible. Yeah. Was he an older man? She goes, no, he was young. He had AIDS. She said it like...
like, matter of fact?
No big deal.
Yeah, yeah.
He was young. He had AIDS. So the laundry key is over there. I mean, it was no big deal to her. Yeah. And so she... Because you have to disclose to you if somebody dies in the apartment. You know this?
Yeah, I know that, yeah.
Yeah, he died in the apartment of AIDS. Yeah, I had an AIDS ghost.
Yeah.
I had an AIDS ghost.
Yeah, my... you know La Jolla? Oh,
yeah.
You know the condo?
Oh,
you ever stay in that condo?
All the time. So, I mean, back then.
Back in the day. Yeah, when we were struggling.
And there is a etched into one of the cabinets is Bobby Lee as a homo. Somebody wrote that in there.
Probably. Is that really?
Yeah, that's etched in there. In one of the drawers or whatever.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Not. But in the late 90s, I used to MC there, and Mitzi paired me up with Stephen Moore.
I don't know who that is.
You don't know him. He has HIV. And another gay guy named Brian Bradley. You don't know him. Mm. And Brian Bradley used to do an improv troupe with Robin Williams.
Wow.
So they all come from the zoo in San Francisco. So anyway, Brian Bradley and we're in the condo late at night. And they go, you want to hear a story about this condo? And I go, yeah, I like history. And like, in 82, right, Stephen? You were there. Steve goes, yeah, I was there. We had about 150 men here. And we did 150 man train in sync, like through the rooms.
They were just like what's that movie where they were you were,
the human centipede? A very long centipede.
Wow.
Right. Yeah, very long. Right.
What is a centipede? Like a millipede?
Yeah. And he goes, yeah, and we would just like, we would say out loud, pump, and they would all pump together, right? Pump.
No.
And they would all pump together, right?
It was just like a wave of dicks going in a
butt. We got so drunk that it was just, we just came all over everything, all over the sheets and the, right? And I remember the next night, I didn't stay there.
No, I would have slept on the fucking beach.
Yeah. It was like, I couldn't touch anything.
That place used to be the dirtiest place on earth.
When it was blue? Oh, you're there when it was blue?
With carpet.
It's cum. It's 20-year-old cum. Yeah, it was, wow. Yeah.
I mean.
What?
Fun.
Oh, my God. If I was gay.
Yeah.
And I was there.
Oh, my God.
I would have been in the middle.
No.
Yeah, I would have been in the middle of the train.
See, I think you're closer to the back.
What does it matter? Unless I'm
They need someone who's low to the ground, who's got good center of gravity.
Yeah.
To push the train forward. The caboose is always the strongest.
Right.
And you got a little.
Also, I don't know if I was gay. I might not like the anal part of it.
What would be the
I want to be the one.
You want.
So I'll be the caboose the very end. So I have no one in back of me.
That's what I'm saying. Right. You give. I would
be the one yelling out to everybody, 3, 2, 1, pump, pump, right? 3, 2, 1, pump. We would all pump together, right? And then, hey, Bobby, you want to get in the middle? I go, no, I'm the caboose. You know what I mean? And Andrew's in the front.
Yeah. No, I'm in the dead middle. I want it both. Oh, that'll blur a little bit. That's you would. Yeah, you would only give. You wouldn't receive. Yeah.
The human centipede.
What a
what?
How great? What do you mean? How awesome?
Did we see the human centipede? Oh my God! What it is these. I'll just. If you haven't seen it, you should see it.
Yeah. By the way, all the criticism that we get from the show that's saying Rudy's too young to hear any of this stuff. Tito Bobby is the one that elicits all this information to her.
And she's also
18
years old.
Yeah, it is still quite young. It's still quite young. She's right on the cusp of being far too young.
It doesn't matter.
Like, you know the term barely legal?
She's ready.
Yeah, she's ready.
She's ready.
Sure. Yeah, go ahead.
It's a movie called
Your Family. Sent to
Be. It's a real movie. And I forget the gist, but it's these two girls that are out in Europe partying.
Yeah.
And they get captured by some German surgeon.
It's always Nazis.
Yeah, some crazy German surgeon. And basically what they do is he surgically puts one of the woman's mouth tied to a Japanese man's asshole, right? So she's like just surgically his asshole.
Like sewed. This, like sewed. On, yeah.
And then her friend is in the back of her surgically, right? And they walk around like a human centipede. Isn't that what just the gist of it?
That's it.
Yeah.
You like that?
You like that?
Rude? Is that cool?
No.
Yeah.
And then the Japanese guy's the smartest one.
Of course.
I remember he went, oh, fuck it is. I cannot live like this anymore. You know, I am a human being and not a centipede. Right? And he took some glass and he killed himself.
Yeah, he knew better. Yeah, I would kill myself too.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of gay stuff, can I show you something?
Yeah.
You know Theo Vaughn? We know Theo Vaughn. You know Theo Vaughn? Hey,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
You know Theo Vaughn?
I love Theo.
Yeah, hey,
one of
man.
My besties.
Yep. Theo has a producer, Gianni. Do you know Gianni Paolo?
I love him.
Sexy.
He's done my podcast.
Sexy dude, right?
Love him. Good actor.
So he was joking around with me, and we were supposed to do something for him today, but we didn't do it. But he was joking around with me and was like, you know, I'm gay, stuff like that. And I was like, okay, da da da.
Gianni's gay?
I don't, well, look, he sent me this, and you tell me.
Okay.
Tell me if this is gay.
This is a real dildo, Santino. I'm gayer.
It's right out of nowhere. It wasn't a competition or anything. He just sent it to me.
Why would he do that?
I don't know. I think he's on meth.
Yeah, he's a real. He's always been kind of, you know, kind of.
Out of nowhere, he sent this to me. Wasn't that weird, though? That's very strange to send this, like.
Well, the dildo looks real. It looks like a banana.
It's real, though. He said it's real. Because the way it bends. Look at how it bends when it hits his butt.
Yeah, yeah.
Watch here.
Oh, you know what? You know what I just saw?
I'm gayer.
You know what I just saw?
Oof, what is he doing?
He did the work.
What do you mean?
He started going up and down.
He bounces.
Yeah.
So he knows what he's doing.
I like it when the girls do that. Because if I do the work, I don't like it.
Yeah. When you push up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He does the work.
Do you? Is that a big problem?
Here I am again.
There you are.
Yeah.
When you push up, you don't like pushing up?
When Kalala's on top of me, what I do is I go, I'll whisper in her ear. So intimate. You do it.
You do it.
And she goes, you want me to do it? And she just like, her ass, she'd go, pat, 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 pat. And I'd just be like, oh, Jesus.
Rudy, close your ears.
Here we go. Oh, man. Here we are. Stop, 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 stop. Yeah, that time. I don't give a fuck. It's quarantine and it's like.
Are you guys going nuts because of it? Hey, tell me this though. You talked about your dreams at the beginning. I'm interested for real. Have you been having like violent dreams? I've had really weird dreams, but not negative.
They're not violent. They're just, you know, it's like they just don't make any really sense.
Give me.
Last night I had a dream where we received vampire eggs.
Oh, yeah. I sent those to you.
No. And then I remember going, what are these? And then Kalala going in the dream, they're vampire eggs.
Yeah.
And I go, is it the chicken that's the vampire or human? I don't get it. The human beings. And then we cut to... We live in a stone house. This is not funny because I'm just telling you exactly
what I want to hear it, yeah.
So we live in a stone house, which is not what our house looks like. And I remember being in this gigantic kind of garden-y backyard.
Yeah.
And I'm somehow behind a bush, smoking. And Kalila...
Were you squatting?
Yeah.
Squat like Vietnamese smoking?
Style.
Yeah.
And Kalila's talking to some scientist or biologist about vampire eggs.
Oh, wow.
And then he starts going into a story about some Puerto Rican girl who lost all her money or something. And then I remember thinking to myself, we have this wooden vacuum cleaner that I found. Right? It's like an ancient wooden vacuum cleaner that we found.
Yeah.
And then I remember thinking to myself, should we give it to the Puerto Rican girl for her to sell so that she can make the money?
Yeah.
So it all shifted to the wooden vacuum cleaner.
Well, that is the focus, yeah.
Right. And then all of a sudden, that was it. That was a dream.
What do you think that means?
I don't know, but when I woke up, you know, when you have a dream like that, you wake up and you go, that did not make any sense.
Yeah, but that, but I like it.
Yeah, but it's like just abstract and weird.
Wooden vacuum cleaner must mean something.
It wasn't, yeah, it was a vacuum cleaner, but it was like in a wooden kind of bamboo thing, and you would lift it up. It was solid wood, and then, but it was ancient.
Yeah.
Like back in the day, that's what they used.
Is it what they used?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't. That
but that was
sound...
it. And then the vampire eggs went away.
They disappeared?
It just wasn't in a part of the dream anymore. It was like almost as like part two of a movie, and then the second one didn't make any sense.
I had one of those where I kept entering different rooms the other day. You know when you like walk in, I walked into a room. In my head, it was in my house, but it looked nothing like my house. It looked like a like an old, you know, like a do you remember? Do you remember the first season of Westworld?
Oh, loved it.
You remember the house that she lives in? That she, yeah. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was like that, like out in the middle of nowhere. But I remember thinking I had to get in. I had to get in one of the rooms to find my dog. I was like, that's where my dog is.
Yeah, yeah.
And when I walked into the room in the house. No dog, no room. I'm not there at all. I'm like outside of a storefront and it's raining and there's like a, and I'm underneath the awning and I'm looking out suspiciously because I think something's chasing me.
Yeah, yeah.
But I wish I could wake myself up and be like, where's the dog is still gone. Yeah, I lost the fuck. I wanted to see
but
the dog.
But how did you get to the fourth storefront?
I have no idea, but it was rain. It was pouring down rain. And I think that it was from, and I said this when I woke up. I said, you know what the storefront felt like? The night I hit a guy with my car. Maybe it was my brain reaccessing that. I hit a guy with my car when it's pouring rain in LA.
I'm not one of those that believe that dreams
tie into reality.
Yeah, there's a some sort of subconscious thing.
What do you mean?
On.
That's literally what it is. It's your brain firing synapses, going back and forth, and gathering pieces.
No. Or it could be my brain. There's like a little David Lynch in my brain.
There is a little David Lynch.
I'm going to direct a movie.
You're a David Lynch in your own brain.
Yeah, well, whatever, right?
Yeah, but I'm saying it takes pieces of reality to create.
Okay, number one, I don't know what a vampire egg is.
Yes, you do.
That's never been a thing.
A vampire egg is it's absolutely a thing. Vampires lay eggs. How do you think you get more vampires? Rudy, please.
Rudy, please.
Rudy, please.
Rudy.
Yeah, but you're taking pieces of things from your life.
Yeah, but that doesn't make – so I don't know anything about that. And
do you play any video games with vampires in them?
Oh, you know what's so funny?
Mm-hmm.
In Stardew Valley, there is an egg – you know, it's they're called void eggs.
Void eggs.
And that's what the eggs look like.
Like vampire eggs.
Yes. They were black. They're black eggs with like red, like it's kind of glowing.
Yeah.
So maybe that's where I got that from.
Yeah, that's right. They come from somewhere.
Right. But then the wooden vacuum cleaner, I don't know.
Well, I think you wish you were – okay, I would say it's because you wish you were cleaner. You wish you could clean better.
I don't know, man. It's a stretch.
And you're Asian, so it's bamboo, wooden.
Yeah.
And I think – That's got to be something there.
Yeah.
Dreams are a reflection of some part of our reality. Rudy, do you have crazy dreams?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
She's not going to explain any of them. It's going to be one word. It's fine. Explain a dream that you had.
Give us a dream.
It's mostly violent.
Get closer to the fucking
mic. It's mostly violent dreams.
Violent?
Yeah, like what?
Like me.
Get closer to the mic. Don't back away.
Like me killing...
People. Whoa, really?
Really?
Yeah.
Take the mic from the thing so you can hold it. That way it doesn't have to be in that stand. You can take it out.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, rip it.
She doesn't know how to do it.
Just pull it out.
Just get closer to the mic, all right?
Okay.
Yeah.
So wait, tell me.
Don't get closer to the mic. Don't go away.
You killed somebody? Tell us.
Yeah.
Don't sway your mic. Just keep your mouth right where the mic is. She's like swaying her fucking thing because she doesn't want to talk.
Here, pull up on it. Just pull up. It'll come out. Just pull up on the mic. It'll come right out of that stand. There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Tell us.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm in a place and then I see a lot of people.
Yeah.
And then I just see a knife and then I just start stabbing.
You just stab random people?
Yeah.
Why?
Why are you doing that?
I don't know.
Do you feel like remorse or anger as you're doing it? Like, are you mad when you're doing it? You're just doing it.
Why am I doing this? I don't want to do it.
I'm like happy.
You're happy you're killing
all right,
people?
Put the mic back on the thing. Put the mic back on the thing. Oh my God. What are you Googling?
Why do I kill in my dreams? I want to know what's wrong. Dreams? Okay, look. Dreams of murder may signal real-life aggression. People who dream about murder may be more aggressive during waking hours. Controversial new study finds the researchers have found that people who dream of killing others tend to be hostile, introverted, and often don't get along with others when they're awake.
Well, I have to say this. She is a little introverted in the house.
But are you hostile? Is she hostile?
No, she's the kindest girl. Like
I know, so we think.
No. At night, mm-hmm. I have my 5 a.m. meal. And it's usually a greasy pan with like meat stuck to the pan, right? And she wakes up to like this chaos, like a mad scientist ate a meat pie, right?
Yeah, gross.
And she every morning, I don't ask her. She just cleans it.
That's really nice.
She does all the dishes. She wipes down counter.
This is what this is. As she's cleaning, she's like, I'm going to kill Bobby one day. Tell me another dream so we can try to dissect where it's coming from. Because you're not an angry person.
No.
What's another dream that you've had?
It's not really happy dreams.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Are they always sad?
Yeah. And like someone is chasing me.
Uh-huh. Wow. Yeah.
Who's chasing you?
Who's chasing you?
It's like tall. It's like a slender man.
Oh, slender man is chasing you.
Why am I being chased in my dreams? Let's find out what this one says. Yeah. If you are dreaming about being chased, it generally means you are avoiding an issue or a person. Your subconscious is telling you you need to confront the issue or the person in order to get on with your life. Look at that. There's a Slenderman right there. That's you getting chased by Slenderman.
By Slenderman.
One of the most important factors in a dream is where you're being chased or who is chasing you. Where are they chasing you?
I don't know. It's just like woods or a road.
The woods.
The woods or a road.
The woods.
Yeah.
And then where are you going to? Do they ever get you?
No, but I'm stuck.
You can't get up?
Yeah.
Oh, I hate those.
I hate the slow running.
Oh, God.
Like, I want to run fast, but you're going so slow.
Have you ever punched in your dream?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you can't punch? It feels like you're punching through Jell-O? Does that happen to you? No?
No.
So when you stab, can you stab at your own rate or is it slow?
Slow. It's slow.
But it's not. It doesn't feel like it's resistance. It feels like you can actually stab him.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
You have like a little demon human in your house.
You might have to go back to the Philippines. What do you think?
How much are flights to the Philippines right now, do you think?
I don't think you can get there.
Really?
It's not even that. It's that you don't if think she we can wants book to come back, if she wants to come back, she's not going to be able to come back.
But do you think we can book her the flight from LAX?
To the Philippines.
Look, LAX to the Philippines. Let's see what we've got on the docket. To Manila, nonstop for $900.
She lives in Cebu.
Doesn't matter. She can walk.
There are islands, you fuck.
Oh, really? You can't walk to an island? You walk to the end and then you swim to the next island. We could put you on Korean Air. One stop.
Yeah.
$844. Should we buy it right now?
No.
Oh, no. This is a return. We don't want her to come
back. The problem is, Andrew, because of the present that we have.
Yeah.
That her coming back to America, if she wants to come back to go back to school.
Right.
She's not going to be able to do it, especially during the quarantine.
I don't like little Filipinos.
Why
you can't
so
come back
in here now?
Because it's 98 degrees outside today.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
We can't put the air con on.
We're going to put the air on in a second.
Okay.
Because I think we can hear it. I want to elicit a competition for everybody because Bobby brags about his house, and somebody hit me up online and was like, "Bobby always brags about his house. What does it look like? Show your house." I said, "Bobby's obviously never going to show his house. That would be foolish."
When did I brag about my house?
Just last episode, you were like, I got a big... Everyone knows
Kalila called it. I'm kidding. I'm going to be honest with you.
I want everybody to draw. I want someone to draw a 3D drawing.
I'm honest with you, right? Yeah. Is that you went to Sebastian's house, right, Rudy?
Maniscalco's house.
Right?
Oh, my God.
How big was that house?
Very big.
Very big, right?
Yeah, it's like $50 million or something.
Right, so let me ask you something, right? How many times bigger you think Sebastian's house than ours?
10 times.
10 times.
This is coming from a murderer, by the way.
No. Whitney Cummings, right?
Yeah, bigger.
Her house is probably five or six times bigger than my house.
Yeah, it's very big.
Dalia's 5 or 6 times bigger.
Dalia has 7 houses now.
I know, so that was my point.
Yeah.
I have one fucking house.
One nice house.
It's okay. It's an average house.
I want people to draw the house what they think it looks like. So people send in your drawings.
All right.
To what you think it looks like at badfriendsmail@gmail.com because I really want to see what they think your house looks like.
What does your house look like?
Extremely modest. Ranch. One. It's just a one.
How many bedrooms?
17.
No, how many bedrooms?
3.
Ours is 3 as well. How many bathrooms?
3.
Ours is 3 as well.
You have 4 bathrooms, Kalila said.
3. Right?
3.
Pool? Hot tub?
We have a pool. Do you have a pool?
Yeah.
Yeah. Same as yours.
Okay.
All right.
So but you're in the Hollywood Hills. All right, look, people send in your drawings. I want to see what you guys think the house looks like. And also, if anybody out there knows what dreams mean,
Yeah, yeah.
Can you please let us know what's wrong with Rudy's dreams and we can dissect them next week, because I really want to find out. I love you. Say goodbye. Ready?
Thank you for being a bad friend.